And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm your host, The Cradle, Dave Slade, sitting here with my co-host, The Convert,
Sharon Chalosky.
Hey, Sharon, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I always love being here in the studio.
Well, we like having you. And, you know, I'm so glad you were able to come on such short notice because Mark got sick Monday with this upper respiratory thing that everybody's had. And he sounds terrible. And
That's for sure.
Knowing him, he'd be contagious through the radio and all our listeners would have gotten this stuff. So I made Mark stay home and have Vicky take care of him and giving him hot tea and watching out for him because he's got the upper respiratory.
And that's a good place to be when you're not feeling good. We don't want his funk on our microphones.
Oh,
either,
absolutely. So. Well, you know, I missed a couple weeks with that stuff, and it was awful. I couldn't get rid of it. I dealt with it and dealt with it, and I just couldn't get it to go away. And it was... it hung on through two rounds of antibiotics. And,
oh, my.
And it seems like everybody in town... either has it or knows somebody that's really been hit with it. And even you watch the national news and the national shows, people are out there talking like this because they're sick.
I know. I'm still a little graspy and kind of nasally,
yeah,
too.
Well, January's good for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this week we can't say we celebrated Blue Monday, but we experienced Blue Monday.
Oh.
And Blue Monday is allegedly the most depressing day of the year.
I saw a post on Facebook about that.
Yeah, it's because the holidays are over, the days are gray and short and dreary, and the bills from Christmas start to come in from the credit cards, and people just get depressed. But, you know, with our faith, there's no point in getting depressed about anything.
That's right.
You know, every day's a blessing. Every week's a blessing. If it weren't for January, we wouldn't appreciate May. You know, when
that's
the flowers
true.
Bloom. So we go through these dark periods during the seasons, just like we do in our lives sometimes. But we know that spring will be here. Spring brings hope. Spring brings Easter. And that's what we look forward to. So we're not going to be depressed. We're not going to worry about this blue week. Hey, you know, there's a great event coming up here in the Decatur area. Another couples night out is going to be held in February on the 7th down at the Beach House. And what a great place to have an event. You know, there's appetizers. They call them light appetizers. And I think they recommend that you eat before you actually go to the event and then have light appetizers and cocktails and hear Deacon O'Toole talk and visit with other Christian and Catholic couples from the area.
Well, we went last time, and it was great. And they may say light appetizers, but I was stuffed when I left. They did a great, great job just filling us up, not just with the word, but a good meal. And it was so wonderful to see people from other parishes and schools. And, you know, we can just come together because we're one Catholic faith, and
isn't
we're
that nice?
A family as a result of that. So
absolutely.
There were teachers and... It was a great turnout. In fact, I think the only problem that we really, you know, saw was that we ran out of tables. So they're going to rearrange the place this time around and make more room and squeeze some more tables in because all of the people that helped put that on, they gave up their seats and they sat more, you know, toward the outside or just stood up, you know, while the speaker spoke.
Well, Sharon, people are hungry for more about their faith. People are really seem to be very desirous to learn more, to be more in the community, to develop their Catholic faith and to share that with others. And this is a great way. Deacon O'Toole's talk that evening, which won't be long because it's more about the social thing, but they do have a speaker. He's going to talk about the five love languages and giving everybody an opportunity to recognize how those we love how we give and receive love. And you've met Deacon O'Toole, and I've talked to him several times. What a neat guy.
He is wonderful. And, you know, without going into too much detail, you know, he's the reason why I have a little girl. So he really touched a nerve with John and I, you know, just not a nerve. He touched our heart. That doesn't
there
sound
you go.
Good. He really spoke to us when he was visiting our parish. Well, I mean, Sydney's mm-hmm. 2.5 now, so it's been many years ago. but he also spoke. He had a pretty instrumental part in the year of discipleship. Him and his wife was there whenever we went through that, so that's how we got to know him. And he's got 13 kids.
Yeah, he's an amazing family.
And, you know, it just makes life full, you know, when you've got, you know, a big family like that. And he spoke about so many different things about how he let his kids keep 100 things between their clothes and their games and just minimalizing and, you know, just really, oh my gosh, there's so many nuggets, golden nuggets from just things that he spoke that still just resound in our heads today that he spoke.
Well, now,
about.
If that's not an endorsement, I've never heard one. So Couples Night Out is Tuesday, February 7th at 7 p.m. It's $30 per couple, and they would like you to bring cash for registration, and that includes the light appetizers and a cash bar. You can register by calling 422-4534, or you can register online by going to DecaturCouplesNightOut.RSVPIFY.com. Best way, I would say, is to call 422-4534. It's a faith-sharing night. You'll enjoy it. You'll meet people, and we highly recommend that you get to the beach house for Couples Night Out. Okay, we got a couple things on the show today. Larry Daly is going to be here to talk to us about what's going on at St. Teresa High School during Catholic Schools Week, which begins January 30th through the February 3rd Friday. And we're going to talk to Kyle Holtgrave from the diocese about youth ministry and the March on Washington, the Pro-Life March on Washington. So we're going to do all that when we come back here on The Cradle and the Convert, here on 88.9 and 96.5 WDCR. And we'll be right back.
There will come a day when each of us will be asked to review the movie of our life and give an account to God. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times and joyfully revisit the good. Thankfully, no matter what you've done, there is hope. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So if you've been away from church for a while, we invite you to come home and find the peace that only comes from God. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Good to be alive right about now.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. And in this section of the show, we're going to talk to the principal of St. Teresa High School, Larry Daly. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, listen, Catholic Schools Week is coming up at the end of the month, January 30th through, I believe, February 3rd. And I'll bet St. Teresa High School's got something special going on for Catholic Schools Week.
Oh, we've got something special going on all week. It's a really, really busy week. Let me give you a rundown of the schedule. Once again, the theme for Catholic Schools Week is communities of faith, knowledge, and service. So we're doing our best to build our knowledge and faith. And, you know, St. Teresa's theme is service, so or servium. Mm-hmm. So definitely that's something that we're considering. But there's a lot of fun things going on this week, too. On Monday, we're going to have our, quote, preppy day because we'll be out of uniform. Students will dress in clothing appropriate to a preppy look. We're going to play a little 60s music in the hallways before school.
Oh, boy.
Through our intercom. Oh, yeah. we're going to have some trivia games regarding our Catholic faith in our cafeteria during lunch hours. So that's part of our knowledge. And we're going to have a Catholic scavenger hunt where students will look for some items pertaining to, you know, our Catholic faith, and they'll find coupons along with those things for the canine, and they're going to find those around the school.
Awesome.
Tuesday's a really big day for us. We're going to be in uniform that day, but we're all going to go to the All-City Mass at Our Lady of Lourdes. All the Catholic schools will be there. That's going to be at 10 a.m. We're going to bus all the students there, and that is a Mass with the Bishop.
Oh, Bishop Paprocki will be there.
Bishop Pop Rocky, yes, and we're excited about that. And then when we come back from that, the bishop is going to be doing a questionnaire. We're going to have some of our students will be in the audio video room, and we're going to kind of teleconference with Bishop Paprocki, where all of the students from the Catholic high schools have submitted questions to him, us included. And he's going to be answering those questions for the students during that particular time in the afternoon.
Wow, what a great opportunity for them to interact with the bishop.
Yes, we're very excited about it. And the bishop does great with that. He's great with these kids, and we're really excited about it. Besides the All-City Mass, also on that day, we're going to feature a free lunch. That's our hot dogs, macaroni, and cheese. The students won't have to pay for lunch on that day. And
once again, we're
going to be doing a Catholic theology games in the cafeteria, trivia games during our lunch hours as well. Following lunch, we're also going to be setting up the cafeteria, almost like a big theater, and we're gonna watch the movie Courageous during that time period till the end of the day. So they will be in uniform, but there's some the mass going on that day, and also the movie day and the questionnaires with the bishop. So it's going to be a really busy day for Tuesday.
And you said all of the grade schools are going to that mass too.
All the grade schools are going to that mass too. I think Our Lady of Lourdes, because it's a large church that can handle the amount of students that will be in there. But we did this last year, and it was incredible. The music was incredible. The students were incredible. I mean, it was a great celebration of mass on that day. So we're very excited and looking forward to it this year. On Wednesday, there's also some things going on, of course. We have an alumni from a very well-known family around St. Teresa, the McCormick family, is going to be performing. Martin McCormick and his band Switchback, they're a Celtic band, are going to be performing for us at 10:05. Will be on the 10:05 mass assembly schedule, and the students are going to come down to the gym, and they're going to listen to Martin McCormick, and he plays Celtic music and puts on a presentation for them. So Martin McCormick and his band Switchback will be there as well on that day. We're going to do 80s music in the hallways before school. Once again, there'll be the Catholic trivia games for learning a little more about our knowledge during lunch hours. And there will also be, once again, a scavenger hunt on that day. Thursday, we're doing Teacher Look-Alike Day.
Oh, boy.
Some of our students get very creative about that, too. And we find that last year, I think they put on a skit, about our teachers, and the students they're just incredible actors, and they wrote the skit, and all of our teachers thought it was really funny.
Well, imitation is the finest form of flattery.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So on that day, they're going to be dressing to resemble one of the teachers. There'll be 90s music, and respectfully, too. There'll be 90s music in the hallways before school. We'll have, once again, church trivia games during lunch and a scavenger hunt as well. We're going to be doing that on all five of the days. And then on Friday, to close out the week, it'll be a Jeans Four Quarters Day. We basically take donations. Students wear jeans, and then we donate that money. Four quarters means they donate a dollar to be able to wear jeans for that day, and we donate that money each month to a special cause for that day, for charity. And then also, we're going to be playing music from the year 2000 to present in the hallways before school, and we'll have our church trivia game during lunch, and then at 1:04, all the students are going to come down to the gym, and we're going to have an assembly. And during that time, we'll be doing some different games involving each class, kind of show their spirit and to show their faith. I think that'll wrap up the week, and it seems like a really busy one, to tell you the truth.
Wow, I'm telling you, you got lots going on every day. That is really great. Now, is there a day that the parents and grandparents can stop in and visit the school?
Well, at St. Teresa, we always welcome parents, grandparents. They're definitely welcome to come visit us at lunch, especially during the free lunch day on Tuesday. We don't have a particular day to where we have that visit. We do our Grandparents' Day in the fall,
okay,
where the grandparents come in and visit with our students during lunch during that time. But I'm always willing to. We're always welcoming to any parents or grandparents who want to come in and check out the activities, of course.
Yes, you are very accommodating up there, Larry. One other thing I wanted to ask you, I thought I saw there was going to be a blood drive at St. Teresa.
Why, yes, there is going to be a blood drive at St. Teresa on January 27th. We will be having our blood drive that are students from the National Honor Society, sponsored by Mr. Paul Furman, put on. It will be in our gym, and we're basically getting that all set up. And you know, anyone can come in during that time in our gym to donate blood. We think that's for a very good cause.
Well, I'll tell you, you guys do a great job of community service out there at St. Teresa, and Decatur wouldn't be the same without you. You know it.
Thank you very much. We love it here, and we're glad we're part of this great community.
Well, and we're glad you were with us this morning to tell us all about what's going on at St. Teresa during Catholic Schools Week, which begins on January 30th and runs through February 3rd. I've been talking with Larry Daly here on the Cradle and the Convert, and we'll be back in just a minute. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert for this Thursday. Dave Slade here with Sharon Shalosky, and on the phone with us this morning from the Diocese of Springfield is Kyle Holtgrave, who is, well, Kyle, what is your title exactly?
Sure, sure. My title is the Director for the Office for Youth and Young Adults Ministry here in the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois.
Youth and Young Adults. Okay, great. And we brought Kyle in this morning to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in the diocese as far as youth ministries, and in particular, the trip that many young folks from our diocese are going to be taking to Washington, D.C. In a couple weeks for the March for Life. So good morning. Welcome. Thanks for joining us here on the Cradle and the Convert.
That's good to be here.
Kyle, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background, and how you got into this ministry.
Sure, sure. I've been involved with youth ministry pretty much my entire life. I never really thought about my early career, even as a high school student, where I was working as a camp counselor at a Catholic camp in southern Illinois called Camp Ondesan.
Mm-hmm.
I spent many, many summers there as a camp counselor, and not really realizing that that was a form of youth ministry, even though I was a teenager myself at the time. So I got into college and was looking at majoring in a degree that would help me stay connected to that kind of environment, because I love being in the outdoors. I love sharing God's creation with everybody. And then finished my degree in recreation to pursue that. Took a four-year break from all that to serve in the Marine Corps to pay for college.
Well, thank you for your service. That's awesome.
And then got back into it. I still got into camping when I finished my degree, and then shortly after I was married, my wife was interested in living closer to civilization. Something about living in the woods was not as appealing as it originally was. She was a counselor herself as well, so there was certainly some appeal there. So she encouraged me to look into a youth ministry position at the Cathedral Parish in the Diocese of Belleville. So they actually had a tri-parish ministry setting coming up where I was the youth minister for the Cathedral of St. Peter, St. Luke, and St. Teresa, all on the east side of the city of Belleville. So I spent 8 years as a parish youth minister, did a lot of formation, finished a master's degree in theology during that time, finished a certificate in youth ministry studies from the Center for Ministry Development, and then when the position here at the diocesan office in Springfield opened up, it was a ripe opportunity because it was something that I could easily transition to because it wasn't far away. I was just in the Belleville Diocese is just to the south of Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
So I already had a network of people in the region, and I was able to kind of easily transition from parish level to diocesan level. And I've been here since September of 2007, so almost 10 years now serving in the diocese, supporting the mission of youth ministry for the parishes here in our diocese.
Well, you know, the diocese has a lot of great programs, and youth ministry is one that I think we're still kind of playing catch-up. As far as when we look at some of the Protestant megachurches that really have youth programs that are going crazy, You know, it's a lot of it's entertainment and a lot of it is social. But I think we're kind of getting getting our act together to where we're getting our young people more involved in our faith. You know, I always say that 100 years from now, the Christian faith, the Catholic Church, is going to be in the hands of the young that aren't even born yet. So we have got to take these young people and catechize them.
Sure, sure.
So tell us a little bit about the March for Life and who's going and who's leading. And I think Father Erisman and Father Chris Comerford are going with you, aren't they?
There's actually about a half a dozen individual different groups that are participating in the March for Life doing various tours. My particular group, I have four different buses that will be traveling, starting from the western side of the diocese and kind of combing our way eastward, heading towards Washington. So I've got groups that kind of cover the northern part of the diocese. Father Erisman and Father Comerford is probably with the group out of Mother Perpetual Help Parish in Maryville. They're connected with Becky Barley and her crew that also brings probably about as many buses as well, and they kind of cover the southern part of the diocese. So they take the I-70 corridor. I kind of cover the I-72 corridor on the trips. Other groups like Father Michael McGivney High School has their own. They actually have two buses going this year, and I know that St. Anthony High School out of Effingham is bringing a bus as well. I also talked to Father John Long. He's one of the parochial vicars at St. Mary Parish in Alton. They have a bus coming, and I believe that should be about. That's all that I've heard of at this point. But there's always a good representation from this diocese, all coming on different trips, but all converging for the same purpose to let our elected officials know about our views of pro-life and that we want to. Tell our legislatures to enact laws that that respect the dignity of the human person, respect the sanctity of human life. So it's great that we have so many people that are finding their way to Washington, D.C., whether it was with me or with another group. I think it's just great that we have so much participation.
Well, it really is exciting, and it's young people. That's what's so invigorating about the whole thing. This is younger people that are pro-life, you know, and I think the pendulum is starting to swing. Sharon and I were talking a little bit ago about the number of abortions in this country are down. You know, the legislation is becoming tougher, tighter laws and rules on abortion clinics, and maybe the tide is starting to turn a little bit back in favor of the pro-life movement.
It certainly is. I think the majority of Americans, and not just young people, but across the board, certainly favor the protection of the unborn to some degree. There's differences as to whether people agree as to whether abortion on demand should be legal and whatnot. But the good news is people in general believe that pregnancy is a blessing and should be respected, and we should do everything we can to support the women that are pregnant and to bring that the child into the world to provide that safe environment for them. So there's certainly good news there. Of course, we're always fighting issues like the Supreme Court rulings that kind of universally, through unelected members of our government, just mandating certain things that we have to do. So there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's still an agenda against the pro-life message from the abortion industry itself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we are making progress, and that's key, and prayer is the key to all of it.
Certainly.
Absolutely. So, now, let me ask you a question here about parish outreach.
Sure.
We have five parishes, well, four parishes, I guess, here in Decatur, and one in Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. And I don't hear a lot about youth ministry other than scouting and that type of things. So, Kyle, what's going on, and how can we get people fired up to get this next generation catechized and in a youth ministry role?
Sure, sure. Well, part of the problem is understanding what the actual definition of youth ministry is. And all parishes actually do youth ministry to some degree. They just maybe not call it that. But anything that the parish is doing to build a relationship with its young people is youth ministry. So anyway, you mentioned scouting is a great opportunity for people to connect with a leadership kind of thing, where they're learning leadership skills and learning growing as young people through scouting. But there's all other ways the parish is already ministering to young people. Our Catholic schools should be the most obvious gold star in what we do for our young people. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people just say, well, that's just education. We're just teaching the kids. But no, we're teaching them more than just math and reading and science and things like that. We're teaching them about that relationship with Jesus Christ. We're trying to build young disciples, and everything that our Catholic schools certainly leads people towards that, because we have plenty of opportunities for prayer, not just at Mass, but in the classrooms and at any opportunity in the school itself. So we need to recognize, first and foremost, that our Catholic schools are a huge part of our youth ministry in any parish. Also, just even some of the more behind-the-scenes things that you don't even think about. But if you've got young people who are serving in your parish, that's the parish building a relationship with those young people. So that can be called youth ministry. So I think people are think too narrow when they think about what is youth ministry. They're looking at, you had mentioned the Protestant megachurches, for example, Dave, mm-hmm. and people are looking at, well, how come they have this big youth group? As well, a youth group is part of it, but it's not the whole thing. As Catholics, we look at the entire person, not just something that they sign up for and become a member of. So we've got young families with young people in our parishes, and we're doing things to support our families. That is an extension of youth ministry, because we're supporting the family environment that they need to be in. So part of it is that we just don't recognize what's going on, and we need to be more intentional about claiming what our parishes are already doing for youth and call it youth ministry. Now, on the flip side, I understand where your question is coming from, because people are always looking for, well, what does it look like, or how do we do youth ministry? And I think the bigger challenge is challenging the parishes to come up with a coordinated effort to make young people more prominent and give them more reasons to be excited about their faith. So I think the bigger issue is challenging all the parishes to step up and develop leaders who can coordinate efforts to bring young people to Christ and make disciples of all nations, as Jesus commands in the Great Commission. So that's what I think we need to really focus at in each individual parish. And it's not just a Decatur thing. It's any parish in the diocese. Some have a full-time person who is called a youth minister, but a lot of parishes rely on volunteers who maybe teach who do catechesis in the evenings, maybe once a week throughout the school year, for example. And that certainly, too, is youth ministry. But again, we need to look broader than just specific activities like that. It's about ministering to the whole person.
Right. Let me remind everybody that we're talking to Kyle Holtgrave from the Diocese of Springfield here on the Cradle and the Convert this morning. I'm Dave Slade with Sharon Schalosky. And Kyle, you know, if people are interested in learning more about youth ministry or what you do with young adults, what's some contact information, how our listeners can get in touch with you?
Yeah, I've got a pretty extensive website on the diocesan website. DIO.org is the main website for the diocese, and then just look for Office for Youth Ministry. And I outline, everyone kind of looks for the flashy events, like, well, you mentioned the March for Life earlier, and we talked a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. That's a specific one-time event that happens once a year, but we need to look at how youth ministry is functioning throughout the year. So on the website itself, I have a number of things that parishes can look at as far as how to understand youth ministry better. And I certainly am available to come out and visit with parishes. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I did meet with a lady from one of the parishes in Decatur for lunch and talked about how to connect young people with some of the experiences that are out there. But my main mission is to be out there for the parishes and to come and talk to parish councils, talk to pastors, and get people together and help them understand that broader definition of youth ministry that I talked about earlier, and to come up with ways that we can run with that vision and find new ways to connect young people, because everyone has a role. Everyone thinks, well, we need a youth minister in the parish. Well, you do, but you need an entire parish. There's a proverb from Ghana that says it takes a village to raise a child, and the Catholic Church kind of unashamedly steals that proverb and says it takes the entire parish to raise our young people as well. So we need to step up and realize that we're all in this, and we need to make sure the next generation of young people has the skills that they need, has the foundation that they need to be good disciples of Christ, so that they can continue the mission of the church with their children and their children's children and so on. So all of us have a role in this, and all of us need to step up and share our gifts with young people. So that's one of the first things I'll talk about with parishes, too, is, well, what kind of gifts do you have in the parish, and how can you use those gifts to help build young disciples? So again, everyone keeps looking for that one big thing, like mm-hmm. a youth group that's doing everything, and it shouldn't be that. A strong centralized program may have its place in the right context, but we really need to think about decentralizing that and giving everyone something to do, so that it's not just one person's job to try to do everything.
Absolutely. You know, well, your enthusiasm is apparent and it's contagious. I can tell that you are really excited about this stuff, and we are too. Now, I've seen Sharon's over there jotting down some notes, and maybe she's got some questions she'd like.